This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Beck. Great to be with you this evening. Flying solo, except for my very special guest. The wonderful Shannon Power is with us. Welcome.
Hello, Dean. How are you tonight?
I'm very well indeed. All the better for having you join us. It's like old times having you here.
I know, right. However, on this particular show, long-time listener, first time on the show. Can you believe it?
We don't have that many female guests on.
Well, I think we could tackle that over the next hour, shall we, Mr. Dean Beck?
But we are very, very pleased to have you. Former journalist with Star Observer.
That's right. Recently resigned and looking for new opportunities.
International traveller.
I don't have a house, I don't have a car, I don't have many assets. But I travel a lot.
And
I'm rich in experience, as they say.
And Aussie Greek girl or Greek Aussie girl?
I think Greek Aussie rolls off the tongue a bit better, okay. But I guess technically more Aussie than Greek. Who knows, mate? Whatever.
A mongrel like us all.
Yeah, that's it. Tomato, tomato.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about all things that were in the media of last year, and we're looking forward to a few exciting things coming up. Hopefully a better year ahead for many of us.
Hide and seek.
Pure Joy 94.9.
Just a little track from Willem Balai, I'm told.
That's right.
And Latrice Royale. You were on a ship with Latrice Royale so long ago. Tell me about you and cruise ships.
So it turns out I have a very expensive addiction.
Right.
People are addicted to all kinds of things, but I'm addicted to cruising on the high seas with a bunch of drag queens. So if people aren't familiar with the names Latrice Royale and Willem Balai, they are breakout stars from the hit reality TV show RuPaul's Drag Race. And there is a gay travel company based out of Florida that runs twice yearly cruises, either in the Caribbean or Europe, packed with, you know, different stars from the eight seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, including one of the judges, Michelle Visage, and there's been a whole host of
An extension of the RuPaul's franchise? Is this part of RuPaul's management empire?
Not at all. It's a pretty savvy travel company who came up with the idea to sort of ride on the popularity of that show. And
they also sponsored that show.
They did a little while ago. Yeah. I don't think that partnership is there anymore. So,
right.
Yes.
Because I just wondered whether the empire was, you know, the songs and the show,
sure,
and the cruises and whether RuPaul was managing the whole lot.
Not at all. I think once the queens finish up on their season, they're just sort of sent off into the world and have to make their own way.
Right.
So a lot of them are grouped under, there's two or three top managers of the yep. different queens. So Producer Entertainment manages some of the biggest names. Latrice Royale runs her own management company. And I think there's three or four that manage all the queens. And so it's from there that they go on right. to do shows, do cruises, to do appearances. The only thing I think that's associated post or beyond the show is the YouTube channel Wow Presents,
yes,
which is the production company that makes the show.
And there's a conference associated with
that. DragCon, yes. Yeah, so there's yeah. a massive like con thing, like they have Comic Con yeah. fan thing. It's apparently huge. They've done it 2 years in a row now. I think it's just before the finale in April or March. And I know people that go, it's a hectic couple of days. It's not my cup of tea going to a drag con or any kind of con. But it's huge. It's really bringing drag into the mainstream. So I've done three of these drag cruises now.
Three drag cruises?
And I think I'm going to do another one this year.
Really?
I'm officially addicted. Every year I was like, cool, that was amazing. Done.
What is it that you like about it? Is it the type of people or is it the entertainment
yeah.
or what?
Yeah, and look, I'd done a gay cruise once before. I'd done an Atlantis cruise many, many years
but
ago.
But you were working on that one.
I was working.
Yeah, right.
I still got up to some fun, okay. let's be clear.
Yeah, right.
What happens on Atlantis stays on Atlantis or any kind of gay cruise, really. what does keep you coming back are the people. Like a lot of them are really hardcore Drag Race fans, which can be yeah. a bit much for me as well.
They know every word of every show and that sort of
thing. And they take
it
really seriously yeah, right. and they're like, oh, you know, last year when this queen was drunk, she told me this, it means we're best friends and, you know, it, like I'm not that into it because what actually happens is you get on the boat, on the ship, whatever, and there are, you know, either mixed shows or each queen does an individual show. So you're sort of sometimes seeing two or three amazing top-notch drag performances a day. Plus you have the option of perhaps like booking dinners with the queens. We went ice skating with the queens on one of the ships. You know, I ice skated with Latrice Royale. Like, please, that's amazing. But it really is the people. It really is the people that keep coming back. I am probably one of the still the baby cruisers, for lack of a better term.
Meeting one of the younger people on board?
I wish I was one of the younger people, meaning I've only done three. Some people are up to their fifth or sixth cruise.
Right.
And none of those people look like they're slowing down. So it really is, you know, and this cruise is 13 days. The other ones I've been on have been 7 or 8 days. But in that short space of time, you really build a great relationship with these people from all corners of the world. You have this common shared interest.
How many times do they repeat the shows? If it's 13 days, they would have to do some repeats of the show, sure.
No, some queens might do a couple of shows. So sometimes they do a mixed cabaret show that yep. Michelle Visage hosts and the queens will perform a couple of songs. And if a queen is doing her own show, if they're versatile enough to do a couple of different ones, I know that Jinx Monsoon always does two or three different shows because she has that capacity sure. to do yeah. a lot of different kind of stuff. But they just space them out. Over a 13-day cruise, I don't think there was a show every day. There might have been like just a meet and greet sort of thing or drinks in the bar.
We will find out exactly what else goes on the cruise. We'll try and get that out of Shannon Power.
I'll never tell.
That's next on Hide and Seek.
I'm on fire. Hide and Seek.
Fire it all.
Dean Beck with my special guest Shannon Power on Hide and Seek. Tonight we've been talking about drag queen cruises, a thing that you are enamoured with for some unbelievable reason.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Yeah, rightio. Now, the guys that go on this, because I'm presuming the majority of guys that... No?
It's not strictly a... LGBTI scene. There are a lot of, you'd actually be really surprised. There's a lot of, sure, there's straight people, but there's a lot of sort of like middle-aged parents with their young kids, or not young, teenage kids that all love the show.
Right.
Go on
big
the cruise
fans.
Together. Yeah. Okay. So during the show, as you imagine, a lot of the language is quite blue. A lot of the content is quite blue. But, I mean, you know what you're signing up for. So
sure.
It's, you know, predominantly gay men, but it is a wide, wide spectrum of people that go along. And this year, actually, on this year's cruise, last year, there's this two old men who'd been a couple for years and years and years decided to get married. And Latrice Royale is an ordained minister, or at least a celebrant.
Yeah, yeah.
Married them on the ship. It was a beautiful moment. We all cried. Then this, or last year, in 2016, when I just went on this cruise, their grandson had only just recently come out of the closet. So they brought him along on the cruise. So it was his big first gay experience.
Oh my God.
He was like a kid in a candy store. He was out of control. But I mean, it's sort of those beautiful kind of stories that, you know, that's what keeps you coming back, really.
So there's a cross section of people, but certainly. Well, how does it differ from the Atlantis cruise? Maybe that's
the
better question.
The pace is a lot slower. It's a lot tamer. And particularly, except for one of the cruises I did, we're just a small group on, a normal cruise ship.
You're part of the bigger cruise ship.
Right. So I think this year was not even 200 people in 2016. Sorry, in 2015, we were 200 people on a ship of about 4,000.
Yeah,
so
right.
We're only a small portion. So unfortunately, sometimes, even though everyone's sort of like really out and proud and the queens are walking around in full drag and we're very distinctly much queerer than the rest of the ship, There were a couple of incidences with passengers in previous years, some homophobic incidences.
So you don't get your own section of the ship or?
Not really. Like when there are shows on, we get like the theatre or the bar or wherever.
The ballroom or whatever.
Wherever the shows are being performed, we get that exclusively while the show's on, and other patrons aren't, or other, I can't remember the term, patrons, clients, customers, passengers, I got
it.
Are not allowed in. But it differs to Atlantis, yeah, because we're not the majority on the ship, and we're there for a specific thing. Like, it's Atlantis is super gay.
And it's the whole ship, is it, pretty much, with the Atlantis cruise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Every corner, nook and cranny
is pretty
gay.
What's Michelle Visage really like?
She is a consummate professional. She knows how to play the game. Not play the game. That, I don't want to make her sound cynical or not genuine, but she knows how to switch it on for the people that are there because, you know, it's still a very American system. When she performs, she relies on tips. She relies on people buying, you know, the experience of having dinner with her.
Oh.
So she's very good at treating everyone like they're the most special person in the world, which is an exhausting thing to do. I don't know how she manages to keep it up. She brings her family, her kids come along. And on the 2015 cruise I did, we actually were seated at the same table as her and her family for the dining at night. So we got to know her a little bit better, and she's fun, she's dirty, you know, she's got a wicked personality, she's lived, she can tell you some stories, and she doesn't hold back. They're very honest. So she's cool. Like, she's definitely someone you'd want as your mate.
Now, you also had on board this particular cruise in 2016 someone I have had interactions with before.
Oh.
Xixi LaRue.
Yes.
How was Xixi LaRue?
I didn't have much to do with her this time, but the first cruise I ever did in 2015? 14, yeah, the first one. Thanks, Dean. The years are just flashing by. I had a little bit to do with her then because I brought my 18-year-old brother along on the cruise. It was his first, that was his 18th birthday present.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, a cute little twink like him gets a lot of attention. So I had my eye on Xixi because she was notorious for recruiting young boys. So for people who don't know, she's a porn producer, makes some great content from what I hear. You know, it's all subjective. But, yeah, I just kept a close eye on her because, you know, I didn't want her to get her feelers on my brother.
Fair enough. My interaction with Xixi LaRue was regarding her DJing for a particular VIP event that I was hosting for the company I was working for. And one of the CD players on the mixing desk wasn't working, so she threw a tantrum. But anyway, nonetheless. So
divas. I mean, what are we going to do?
You cruised through the Mediterranean, is that right?
Yes, we did.
Which leads us nicely into your challenge with your Greek community. Now, you've got this little thing going on that's, well, let's start with Loaded. Tell me about what Loaded, the book, meant to you?
So Loaded was the first novel published and released by Christos Siolkas, who, of course, we know now as having written The Slap and Barracuda, very well-regarded Australian author. But this first book was released, I think, in the mid-90s. I didn't read it till sort of the later 90s when I was a teenager. It was about a young Greek-Australian guy, you know, coming to terms with the traditional culture of his family.
Some of the scenes were filmed in Three Faces.
Yes, yes, yes.
When I was working there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and he's also a young, raging homosexual coming to terms with his sexuality in a very traditional Greek family. And for myself and my friends, you know, even ones that didn't identify as queer or that did or didn't, just to see a young Greek Australian that we could relate to, that we kind of recognised and knew, grappling with the same sort of things that we were, whether it was regarding sexuality or not, was so revelatory, and it was just so heartwarming to see yourself represented outside of a caricature. So it wasn't Acropolis Now, it wasn't Walks Out of Work, which are great things that we loved as kids, but it was edgy, and that's what we were living. Those were the experiences we were having.
And it spoke of that disconnect between the traditionalists that had left Greece in the 50s and kept those traditions
absolutely.
Of the 50s and not moved with the times like those who still live in Athens might.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's something that you see even here in the language that Greek Australians speak. It's sort of still
an old-fashioned version.
It's very, very old-fashioned, whereas if you go to Greece now, and of course now a lot of Greek Australians is very Greeklish, as we say. It's sort of being diluted between English and Greek. But yeah, over in Athens, the cultural values, the philosophies, even the attitudes towards religion have progressed beyond. And I think, you know, the second and third and fourth generations of Greek Australians now have adapted a bit more. But I think the sort of the older people from, you know, even my age, mid-30s, God forbid, up,
but the
had to grapple with that.
The first-born Australian Greeks and sort of second-generation Australian Greeks, particularly the first, which are my generation, really, struggled a lot. They had issues with, I guess, racism and overtones of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And also fitting into the local culture, you know, which at some went the other way. I know some Greek families that became so ochre Aussie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to fit in.
Yeah, changing their names, anglicising their names. Thankfully, for some reason, my family is quite progressive and open-minded and accepting of everyone. So I got lucky.
But you struggle with your surname being a Greek Australian, you say.
Because my surname is Power. My name is Shannon Power. It's a very, very Irish name because, yes, I think on my father's side where I don't know when they came out from Ireland, but they did. But I've always identified more as being Greek. Mm. I spoke the language a little bit before I spoke English. I went to a Greek Orthodox primary school. I studied Greek all the way through university. I'm a dual citizen of both the countries. And my name is just my name. It doesn't reflect any of my cultural heritage. But however, people, even, you know, people of the younger generations haven't got their head around that there's a lot of mixed marriages now. Not everybody has to have the surname Hatzidopoulos to qualify as full-blown Greek, whereas I really strongly identify with the culture. I'd love to live over there. But I feel like it kind of restricts me from being able to fully participate and immerse myself in the culture here.
So your challenge is to get local Greeks on board with marriage equality.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a challenge.
Well, particularly because the Greek Orthodox Church, which is highly influential here in the community, in the Greek Australian community, is vehemently opposed. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Vehemently
opposed to marriage equality, so much so they are being funded by groups like the ACL and have set up websites very vocally against marriage equality. They hand out pamphlets at church. The priests talk about it at church services.
I wasn't aware it was that profound.
It's that active, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It's that, I guess, proactive from their point of view. So that's something that, you know, and I know that the Greek Church in Greece did oppose civil unions between same-sex couples. But I don't think it was anything near as strong as what we're experiencing here in Australia. So it's definitely an uphill battle because people are strongly influenced by the church. And I think the Greek Australian community does lean towards being a bit more conservative. But I have to, and I've written about this and I wrote about it for the Star Observer, me having to get past the fact that I'm not always fully accepted because of my name, because I feel like it's my obligation to represent the cause in this community and try and change hearts and minds. But I'm not quite sure how to do that just yet.
Struggle lays ahead. Oh. Shannon Power is my guest on Hide and Seek.
Just shake that ass. On it, baby.
Joy.
Get on it. Just shake what your mama gave you. Get on it.
Joy 94.9. Shannon Power is my guest on Hide and Seek. Dean Beck with you tonight, flying solo. Now, Shannon, one of the things that you did in your time with Star Observer was a recent edition that was all about ice and its use. Tell me a little bit about that experience as a journalist researching that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that whole edition was the brainchild of the current editor, Corey Sinclair, and he really pushed to make sure that we covered the issue in full breadth. So it wasn't just about, we didn't want to necessarily glorify the drug. We didn't want to demonize or stigmatize people who perhaps use it, whether regularly or occasionally.
Or recycle stuff that we've read 1,000 times.
Well, that's it. And for me as a journo, it was, I kind of had a lot of knowledge already about the issue because I would go to a lot of talks and conferences and panel things, usually run by UNHARM, which is a New South Wales-based harm minimisation lobby group and lobby group to change drug laws. So I felt particularly they did a lot around the LGBTI community as well. So I had a good understanding of what the kind of stats were for people in the community using this drug, the sort of various policy issues behind it, the various positive and negative issues around the drug. So we sort of had to work collectively as an editorial team to make sure we really covered our bases in terms of giving it a fair and balanced perspective. So I did a piece which was commissioned by our editor, who wanted me to speak to people who I guess were the unlikely people that use the drug that we don't normally hear about.
Because functional users,
because the media images we get of ice are those big scary campaigns of people smashing up hotel rooms, being violent to their parents, stealing from their parents, which, you know, obviously is a risk and does happen and can happen. But the facts are and the stats are that the majority of people that do use this drug are functioning people who don't use it every day and might use it recreationally. And the numbers in the LGBTI community are so much higher in terms of usage, whether problematic or recreational usage, that we have to have an honest conversation about it. And I think we achieved that in the magazine.
And I think it affects our communities a little differently in the sense that it's more sexualized in LGBTI communities, whereas in the heterosexual community, it tends to have more violent connotations and overtones. Mm. It seems to be more aggressive,
sure,
particularly with men's use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a generalization, but that's just what I have observed. So you got to speak to a professional, Zoe. Tell us about Zoe's story.
So she is a legal professional over in Western Australia, so very important figure over in the legal scene in Perth at the top of her game and has been for a very long time. But is also, you know, I guess when you move in those circles, if you're a high-flying lawyer, you also have high-flying mates. So she was friends with architects, chefs, really white-collar professionals who all used ice and other drugs as well, but mainly ice recreationally.
And socially.
And she was at one point using every day, but I don't think it ever escalated to the point where she was losing work or losing money or relationships, or it had a hugely negative impact on her life. So the idea about...
And she was in a position to be able to afford it too.
She was, and ice wasn't the only thing she was using. So the thing about, I guess, chatting to someone like Zoe and a few other people that we chatted to was, I guess, to remove the stigma around the kinds of people that are using this drug. And they are the majority of people using this drug. And just to understand perhaps why someone who is a top-notch lawyer, and she got into it, sort of, I guess, halfway into her career or quite away into her career.
So she was established.
It wasn't like she started when she was a poor student. So it sort of defied all the stereotypes we get told about people who use this drug. And I thought, you know, she was very, very honest, gave us a lot of insights, as did a few other people. But writing this piece was incredibly tricky because not a lot of people wanted to speak to us. I think only one person gave us their real name, and that's Christian Vega, who is longtime Joy presenter.
Who was on this show last week.
Yeah, and he's always been very honest about his usage, his, you know, sex work. So it's something that he knows quite a lot about and isn't afraid to speak out. But I must have reached out to so many people to ask them if they knew anyone who'd be willing to speak. I'm very happy to speak to people on the deal of anonymity. However, people didn't even want to have the discussion.
I love this little bit in your article that was for Star Observer that says, Zoe says ice did not improve her life and had negative side effects such as a rough come down, which made her cranky and edgy. Mm. But people presumed that her mood swings were the result of her high pressure career and was written off accordingly.
Yeah, yeah.
And just accepted.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, which is quite interesting. And
where's Zoe at now with her?
I think she'd given up all drug usage and cut down on alcohol as well. And she said she was triggered to do that by the death of a friend.
Right.
So it was a very personal loss for her. A very close friend died from their drug use. And that just was a catalyst for her to stop.
What we never hear is the female perspective, so I think it's...
Lesbian perspective.
Yeah, and a lesbian perspective. And let me simply tell you, I know that it is a major issue for the lesbian community.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. It's actually the rates of ice use amongst lesbians is actually a lot higher than anyone could anticipate.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, moving our attention to another subject that... fascinates me, and you would have had to deal with them somewhat in your time in New South Wales, is their police force.
Yes.
Baffles me.
They sort of, they're almost two sides of a coin, the New South Wales police force. So they have a great GLOW unit headed up by Superintendent Tony Crandell, who's really sort of proactive.
And he's always the face of the LGBTI stuff.
Always the face. Yeah. Very, very open when speaking to journos and helping us, you know, sort of, you know, he's all about harm minimisation and protecting the community. The New South Wales Police Force, I think, came 13th in the Pride and Diversity Awards, which rate the Australian, I can't remember the acronym, but, you know,
It's about policy in the workplace,
it's
really.
It's ranking Australian workplaces on how inclusive they are.
Policy-wise, not culture-wise.
But internally and externally, yes. So obviously there's a bit of disconnect between the one side of the police force, which seems to be working quite well in order to change the safety and the lives of LGBTI people in Sydney and New South Wales. But then a story came out at the Newtown Police Station, a local area command, where a couple of police officers were bullied because of their sexuality, but also targeted for a completely unfounded investigation into potential drug use, where they were tailed at clubs and subjected to drug tests. And I mean, it was completely came up that they were completely clean and, you know, model police officers. Yeah, they were told suggestive things from their bosses. And obviously this ties into a very systemic toxic culture within New South Wales Police Force, which has been around for decades.
And leads right back into the lack of investigation. Absolutely. Into those people falling off cliffs and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, SBS's Deep Water expose was phenomenal at covering that. But it's been around for ages.
And it's obviously very, very ingrained into that culture, despite their efforts to, I guess, change things externally and internally. And just to, I guess, give you an idea of really how the New South Wales Police Force do feel about LGBTI people. When they decided to apologise to the 78ers, of course, the people who marched in the first ever Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, who were then brutalised by New South Wales Police, when they were eventually offered an apology last year. It was at the, you know, media launch of the Mardi Gras film, Mardi Gras Festival last year. I know you were there.
I was there.
But we got no forewarning. It was, I mean, and the media launch is a big event, but I mean, it's just the media launch. And it wasn't even the police commissioner, Andrew Scipione. It was Tony Crandell, who, yes, is a really important figure. But if the apology can't even be done in an official ceremony and from the top brass, then that just is a very, very clear indicator about where the New South Wales Police Force stand on LGBTI issues.
And I can tell you right now, the 78ers were not buying it one bit.
But they didn't even know themselves.
No.
They fancy having a bunch of 78ers turn up to a media launch and not telling them they're about to get the apology they've been waiting for. And I know for a fact that the apologies they've got from Fairfax and from the New South Wales government meant a lot, but that apology from the New South Wales Police Force is the one they were waiting for the most.
I can tell you the reaction in the room was extraordinary, and I approached the policeman representing the police force and requested an interview, which was granted before he made the announcement, because I was given a warning that he was going to make an announcement. And then when the room's reaction reacted the way it did, the media advisor to him said no interviews.
Yes.
Afterwards. So very, very telling. Well, I think we'll take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about far more exciting things.
Yes.
That's on Hide and Seek. Shannon Power, my guest, you're with Dean Beck.
Do you have an online commercial profile, or are you an erotic masseuse? If you have been abused or harassed or concerned about a client's behaviour, you can speak to a member of Victoria Police Sex Industry Coordination Unit for advice and assistance, or anonymously make a report. You can also speak to a GLOW LGBTI liaison officer. Victoria Police will take your complaint and privacy seriously. Call 9628 7192. That's 9628 7192. You don't have to suffer in silence. Joy supports this community message.
Uplifting, informing, empowering.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Shannon Power, my special guest on Hide and Seek tonight. And Shannon, one thing that you and I can share in the joy of is that we both got to go and see Kinky Boots.
Oh my goodness, it was so much fun. I flew down from Sydney for the opening night of it.
Well, you don't really like musicals.
I know. Revoke my gay card, please. I'm not so into musical theatre. I love Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I love Rocky Horror.
My favourite.
Love all of those. I love Hamilton because I'm really into hip-hop and American politics, so they've come together beautifully. But, you know, I'm just not that into it.
I was lucky enough to catch up with Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you. Joy.
We are the LGBTI radio station in Australia.
Leave expectations at the door. Just let your eyes explore my cinematic flair from my boot to derriere.
And this show means a lot to us. Congratulations and thank you very much for doing such a wonderful job in a manner that respects all people.
Well, an inclusive world is a stronger one.
What is it that connects you to our community so directly?
I'm friend and family member.
Now let me blow your mind and light you up. And ma'am, here I am. Yes, ma'am, I'm alone.
I got to see firsthand. In my country, it was a strange occurrence to watch at that time, 2003. To hear the president not condemning hate violence against LGBTQ. And I felt like, you know what? It's our country too. And then I felt, if we could communicate to each other, to tell our stories to our friends, our family, the people you work with.
Ooh, once I was afraid, but then you came along. You put your faith in me and I
was challenged to be strong.
Because most people are fair-minded. They don't know how different laws affect different people. And you could be working with somebody and really like them or love them because you have two families in life. One you live with, one you work with. Which is kind of like this show, Kinky Boots. Because Kinky Boots is really about two unlikely friends.
If you hit the dust, let me raise you up. When you bubble bust, let me raise you up. If you glitter us, let me raise you up.
And
two opposite men, couldn't be more opposite, who become friends, who learn acceptance, who work together with other people who also learn to accept themselves.
Now I stand up for myself. Now I stand out from the crowd. Now I'm standing on high heels. If Dad could see me now. Feed your fire to take you higher. We'll light you up like a live wire. Celebrate you to elevate you. When you struggle to stand, we'll take a helping hand. If you hit the dust, let me raise you up. When you bubble bust, let me raise you up. If you glitter us, let me raise you up.
Hello. The key is really to accept yourself, and then you accept others too. Those who can't accept themselves have a lot of issues with other people. Oh, this bugs me and that bugs me. But if you look a little deeper, which it took me a long time to understand, you might find that what bugs you about that one particular person and that one thing that just works your last nerve is something that you do that you don't like about yourself. And that's the key, isn't it?
Women have been making bad choices since the beginning of time. Are you gonna be
Kinky Boots reminds us of all of those factors, and you only have to look at the US election at present.
Well, our election is very sad and shocking right now, and one of the candidates is really just a reality star. He was lit with a big chair in a big boardroom, but that is not who he is. And I think I could revert back to a song that is in Kinky Boots called The History of Wrong Guys. And it goes like this. The history of wrong guys. Chapter 1, he's a bum.
2, he's not into you. 3, he's a sleaze.
That's about it. Want to move on?
The song that really got me last night was the wonderful one about the son not being his father.
Oh, not my father's son, yes. Which every man can relate to.
When I was just a kid, everything I did was to be like him.
It doesn't matter, straight or gay.
Under my skin.
It's a subject that most men don't talk about.
My father always thought.
They buck up and they continue on life.
If I was strong and fought.
Walking like walking wounded.
Not like some albatross.
And in this show, it actually addresses that issue.
To fit in.
And these two unlikely friends discover that they have a lot in common. Even though they have nothing in common, they have that in common, which is a very deep-rooted experience for most men.
It was never easy to be his type of man, to breathe freely was not in his plan. And the best part of me is what he wouldn't see.
It was interesting watching
I'm not
all kinds of people react to that song, including straight men who tear up.
I'm not the image of what he dreamed of. With the strength of Sparta and the patience of Job, still couldn't be the one to echo what he'd done and mirror what was not in me. We're the same, Charlie boy, you and me. Charlie from Northampton. Meet Simon from Clacton.
Let's make boots.
You know, it's most musicals women buy tickets for.
Ladies,
gentlemen, and those who have yet to make up their minds, as people all over the world clamor for kinky boots. Time for us to get back to work.
This musical is really universal. It kind of like touches on all kinds of people.
All right, now we've all heard of the 12-step program, have we not? Yes, but what you can do in 12, I want you to know that we all can do in 6. Ow, and it goes like this. Come on, come on.
Learn something new.
All kinds of people in there, dealing with all their issues. It's interesting, and it's got a lot of redemption because people evolve, and that's the one thing. People evolve, you know.
And this show gives them permission to do so.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
Wait! Hold it right there, Buster. Are you saying you'd like to take me out?
Yes.
Are you saying that you are actually available?
Yes.
And you still like girls?
Yes.
And that's Harvey. That's Harvey, yeah. Firestein weaving a tale. This really zeroes in on that one issue and also allows everybody to have a moment, which is fun to me. Your kids, who might be gay, to be standing on the sidelines of life and watching other people live. Your friends and your family need to stand up for you. So the only way to do it in a real civil rights movement is to include everyone, not just the gays or LGBTQ, but the parents, the friends. You need your straight allies. That's what's going to push the law. You should have people come on with their folks and discuss the law and discuss how it affects them. And maybe the mother doesn't even know, or maybe the friend doesn't even know. And just tell your story. Just tell your story.
It's a beautiful show. I think it's compulsory for all LGBTIQ people to attend. And they should probably take all of their family along as well.
Mom.
Yeah, well, Mum will love it.
Dad, take your mom. Take your dad especially.
You change the world when you change your mind.
Just be who you want to be. Never let them tell you who you ought to be. Just be with dignity. Celebrate your life triumphantly. You'll see, it's beautiful.
You'll see,
it's beautiful.
Just be,
it's beautiful.
Just be.
If you want to walk out of a theater feeling happy and hopeful, I think Kinky Boots is the show.
Cindy Lauper, thank you so much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you.
The one and only Cindy Lauper. who spoke with me late last year, just around the launch of Kinky Boots, a show that you and I love, Shannon Power.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to see it again on Saturday.
Well, I sent my mother along to it with my sister for Christmas, and they loved it. So I think it's one of those shows that is quite transformative. Sadly, the people who need to see it probably won't.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think some people might not realise what they're getting themselves into, or they might think it's just about drag queens and it doesn't have a deeper message there. And we might trick them. We might spread the gay agenda. Go see Kinky Boots.
That's what we're doing. Spreading it.
Oh, hide
and seek. Joy 94.9.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons you might have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again.
Ready or not, here I come.
Dean Beck and Shannon Power with you on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self, where we've talked about everything else but tonight.
That's okay. It's nice to mix it up.
You had a little story for me to finish up on.
So during the year as a journo, I get sent a lot of books and DVDs and movies and tickets to shows to review, to talk about, to write about. I was sent a kid's book. And this is a story about how I've accidentally spread the gay agenda. We keep saying we don't have an agenda to spread, but I did. I was given a picture book for kids, a beautiful book about how a young kid's teddy bear tells him that he's no longer a boy and wants to be a girl. And then the little kid says, well, of course I love you, whether you're a boy or girl. Beautiful story about transitioning. I was at the airport coming back to Melbourne. My luggage was desperately overweight. I wanted to give it to one of my nieces or nephews, the book. I had to take it out because I was overweight and didn't want to throw it out. And there was a family standing behind me with this like 2-year-old kid. And I was like, hey, listen, do you want this book? I have to throw it out, if not, because I'm overweight with my luggage. I just can't bring it with me. And they were so chuffed that a stranger was giving their kid this beautiful book. They didn't really look at it. They quickly flicked through the pictures and they're like, oh yeah, our little son, let's call him Johnny. I don't remember. They're like, he's actually really into reading and really into books at the moment. I was like, well, he'll love that. Little will they know when they're on their holiday in the Gold Coast that they're going to teach their child about the important issue of transitioning. So gay agenda, spread.
Done. Tick that box. Speaking of the gay agenda, there's a tremendous, what looks like a tremendous ABC USA series coming up in 2017 that I'm looking forward to. It's called When We Rise, written by Dustin Lance Black.
Who, of course, wrote Milk. Who wrote Story Milk. Of Harvey Milk.
Partner of Tom Daly.
Tom Daly, good one.
Starring none other than Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, Guy Pearce and Rachel Griffith. And it's kind of the gay and lesbian rights movement of the early 70s.
Yeah. It should be good. Anything he does is great. And that cast is phenomenal. So it's, I think, an 8-part series. It's going to be intense. We're going to cry. It's going to be uplifting. We're going to learn a lot. There's big expectations for this one.
Something I'm very much looking forward to in 2017, out in February in the USA, and we'll probably get it in
2018.
Thank you very much. Shannon Power, it's been a delight to have you on the show. Thank you very much for coming in, and we might see you around here a little more often, maybe.
I hope so. I'm now Melbourne-based again, so.
Well, I reckon it would be great to have you, and maybe even on The Informer.
Sure, sign me up. It's all a lot right. of work, though. Maybe not. Maybe unsign me up.
Thank you, sweetheart. You keep well.
Thanks for having me.
And you keep well. Take care. Bye for now.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with ChooseWell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. ChooseWell. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.